from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, day one of a new partnership we've got with 12 News. We are streaming live now here. On our regular video platforms, you'll find us on Facebook, YouTube, X, and on 12 News Connected, 12 News Plus. You can find that very easily if you go to kwch.com. You can also find it on their social medias. You might have just gotten a push alert. Fun day in store today for our launch. We're excited to be here with you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester. Big show as we celebrate this new partnership. Coming up in about, 10 minutes from right now, Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo will join the show. First time we've had a chance to talk to J.J. Piccolo since he has taken on that role. One of the more incredible off seasons in Major League Baseball this year now parlays into a very interesting trade deadline for Piccolo and staff, and we will see exactly what they want to do. We'll ask him how aggressive they're trying to be, get through all the latest with him. And then immediately following that interview, we have Kansan of the Year on his way to be celebrated that way. Voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, will join us as well to get us all caught up on the Chiefs offseason. Looking forward to that conversation, as always, with Mitch, as we are sort of in the dog days, getting ready to start training camp later this month and all kinds of good stuff there. We'll also take you through our usual here on a Monday. We'll get you caught up from the weekend. We will have giveaways for you. We're going to give away some NBC World Series tickets. We're going to give away some HTO, so you won't want to miss either opportunity to get your hands on those. Everything's available to you to chime in on the IHOP hotline. 869-1240 is that number, as always. You can also leave us your comments on those video streams. We can get those comments and we can react to them live here on the air. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Happy Monday. Good to see you. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm excited that we are underway here, this, I guess, new era, quote unquote, of Sports Daily, which, it's funny that we have this great partnership now and relationship with 12 News, but that relationship goes back a long time. I mean, all the way back to the origins of this particular program, almost 25 years ago. And so it's great. I'm so excited to be here and looking forward to getting into it today.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Jad Chambers is producing this for us. So we'll sort of get you set up here as we get ready for J.J. Piccolo. A short segment off the top, a little shorter than we normally would, but we got to hit his deadlines here. So it'll be a lot of fun. Let's just, you know, set the table for the Royals, who dropped 2 out of 3 in Colorado. That's certainly disappointing, Tommy, as we get ready for that. We'll spend some time with the Royals here for the first 30 minutes or so. There's no way to slice it. That's a disappointing weekend. Now back to 9 games behind Cleveland, 3 games behind Minnesota, a game and a half behind Boston. Now, the good news with Boston is they play them a ton coming up down the stretch. But, you know, we have to sort of look at this. Houston's going to be coming on strong at some point, right? Houston, Boston, Minnesota, Yankees / Orioles, and the Royals are going to have to beat out one of those teams if they want to reach the postseason. This is an interesting time, and dropping 2 out of 3 on the road in Colorado is a tough pill to swallow, I think.
Yeah, you know, of course, they played a really good game yesterday and put up a ton of runs. Finally, the offense sort of came alive. It took the third game of the 3-game set for them to finally figure that out. And so you walk away, you know, at least winning the finale of that series. At least they didn't get swept by the Rockies, but still falls way short of the expectations that I think we all had for the Royals in this weekend series. Colorado's not a good baseball team. And so you thought that, you know, going into this series, that at minimum they would take 2 of 3, if not sweep the Rockies. They weren't able to get that done. It's going to make the next week that much more difficult, considering they play a resurgent Cardinals team, you know, and then of course they get ready to roll into the All-Star break. They've got to finish this first half of baseball on a strong note, or once again, you know, we're going to be talking about them completely basically out of the playoff race.
I think we got to look at, and we'll talk to JJ Piccolo about this and how they evaluated. I really do think we have to think of this as a race to X number of wins. It's just there are too many teams to try and sit here every day and wonder, like, well, what is everybody else going to do? When in reality, if you can just sort of set, like, you remember in Major League where you had in the original, and they would like tear off the little, you know, the piece of the cardboard cutout to like to have this destiny. It almost feels like they got to just get to a number of wins. I think 92 is going to be, you know, probably the minimum. Just looking at the teams that are in there, there's a battle of attrition in there too, so it could be lower. But I think if you think of it that way, it's going to be good. And the reality of what that means is they're going to have to be better down the stretch than they have been so far, just slightly. But they at least have to be as good, but even just a little bit better, 2-3 wins better than what they've been thus far in the season down the stretch if they want to reach that goal. That's where we get into things like the trade deadline. And I think that's also where you can sort of set everybody else aside, right? Like, no matter what anybody else is doing. Because if you think of it that way, it's like it's maddening to try and imagine, like, what is this team doing? What is this team doing? If you just focus on the Royals and think they got to be 2 or 3 games better than they've been thus far, can they do that? Well, if you think of it that way, then the clear answer for the trade deadline is they got to get a little bit better. And so we'll find out. We'll get to the bottom of that with J.J. Piccolo here in just a few minutes. But it is an interesting time and an interesting part of the schedule. They get a lot of days off here. They get this one and another one before the All-Star break. So, you know, it's going to happen, you know, quickly, but you know, there is emphasis, obviously, and urgency in these next handful of games before the All-Star break to go win some of them, because they're A, against good teams, and then, yeah, I think, you know, we're not going to ignore the elephant in the room that it's a series in Boston against a team you're directly square up against, and they'll get their pitchers in that. By the way, Brady Singer's ERA is now below 3. Isn't that crazy? Cole Reagan's the All-Star. Cole Reagan's the All-Star is 5-6 with, what is he at, 3.28 ERA. Brady Singer's sitting here 5-5 with a 2.93, given a Rodney Dangerfield routine. Like, Singer's been great, and it's wild. But, you know, maybe we ought to start calling him the, you know, maybe there's a three-headed ace there in Kansas City. But he continues to pitch well. But you get all three of those guys with Lugo in that series against Boston. Should be fun. And we're going to get into it. Coming up next, we're going to get into it with J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager. First time we've been able to get him in on the program. So we're looking forward to this conversation. Hey, thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. All those folks tuning in via KWCH, welcome to the fun here on Sports Daily. Everybody else who's been, you know, watching us, Facebook, YouTube, X, glad you can still do that. You guys can leave your comments and we'll get to those. And of course, thanks to everybody listening to us on KFH, the good old-fashioned way. Odyssey app available for you as well. Baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. JJ Piccola joins the conversation on Sports Daily right after this. All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
On your way to work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com? You can just download the app. Visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. You can download the Odyssey app today to get started. You can go back and listen to our great conversation we're about to have with Royals General Manager J.J. Piccola. Welcome back to Sports Daily. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Caster, joined by J.J. Piccola. First time for us on the program. J.J., how are you this morning?
Doing well, Jacob. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We're excited for this conversation. We'll look forward in a minute. I got to say, like, this has been so much fun the last, what are we looking at now, about 4 months to have the Royals in contention. You're getting a lot of flowers kind of from everywhere, so we'll give them to you here right now. That offseason you guys put together to get this thing turned around, pretty impressive. How rewarding is that to sit here and see this team doing that and the guys that you've brought in the offseason, which people have been begging for, to be having as much success as they've been having this year?
Well, it's been great, and it's really honestly been even better for our fans, and that's first and foremost what we know our job is to put a good product on the field so our fans can enjoy coming to the K or watching us on television or streaming, whatever it may be. And you know, that's as rewarding as anything else. And you know, to see the work that our scouting departments put in, our R&D departments to identify players that could help us put together a quality team. It's nice from that perspective as well. So we've still got a long way to go, but for the first 80-some games, it's been fun to watch.
You know, really specifically the pitching staff, JJ, and you know, talking about this rotation and watching the way that overall they've performed through the first half of this season. You know, from top to bottom, I'm not sure there's a better rotation in Major League Baseball. And, you know, you've got two all-stars that are in the pitching rotation in Lugo and Reagans. As you guys have, you know, these conversations about what the rest of this season will look like, how important is it from your perspective that, you know, you've basically got your pitching rotation, at least the starting rotation, set and ready to go and built for an October run potentially for this team?
Well, it's nice to be going into the trade deadline not needing a starting pitcher. Now, you can always use starting pitching because it's a fragile thing, but at least the way we stand right now, the five that we have are doing a great job, and we just got Chris Bubich back, who we're going to use out of the bullpen right now, but we know he's a starter as well, so there's some depth there. But it's great in the fact that every night we know we have a chance to win. They're going to give us 6 to 7 innings on a very regular basis. There's been very few games where we've had to throw, you know, say 6+ innings out of our bullpen. I think it's only happened maybe 2 or 3 times, which is, you know, a great way to go. But what's happening right now is the starting rotation is just feeding off of one another. You know, you mentioned the two all-stars in Seth and Cole. That's really cool. First time in organization history that we've had two starters named to the All-Star team. And quite honestly, you know, Brady Singer, minus the win-loss record, you know, he's a sub-3 ERA right now as well. So there's a lot of good things happening. But we knew, you know, every team knows this. This isn't anything new. But we knew last, I'd say, late June, early July, we were going to have to figure out how can we get this rotation in a good spot. And we had a little bit of a head start because we weren't competing for a wild card or a divisional championship last year. And we were able to start identifying what pitchers may help us. And it's not just ability, but, you know, who fits in the clubhouse and the makeup and who has the toughness and the desire to pitch deep in the games. And again, our scouting and R&D department did a great job in identifying the right players.
JJ Piccolo joining us, general manager, Kansas City Royals. So now the attention shifts to the trade deadline. How do you guys evaluate this? I mean, is there any question still on hold pat, be aggressive? I mean, obviously, I don't think you guys are going to be sellers, but is that evaluation process still happening, or do you know yet what the goal is, and it's just a matter of figuring out how to get there?
Yeah, we have a good idea. I mean, we've got a pretty large body of work right now with the approaching 90 games played. We have a good idea of what we could possibly use to help us out. I think what we have to keep in mind is that we'd like to think this is just the beginning of a window that's going to be open for us to win games for a lot of years to come. And I'd like to think that there's some players on and some that are doing it right now. You know, an MJ Melendez, a Hunter Renfro, those two are swinging the bat much better right now than they did the first couple months of the season. So that's encouraging. And then getting Chris back and being a part of the bullpen, that's going to help. But at the same time, you know, there's some things we think we could potentially add to our club that would just make us deeper, whether it's another bat, whether it's another arm or two in the bullpen. You know, they're the things we're weighing out right now. And, you know, I think the acquisition cost is going to have a lot to do with what we're able to bring in, if anything. But we certainly have been active, working the phones, doing our research and our prep work. That started weeks ago. So we have a good understanding what the lay of the land is. The complicated thing right now is there's so many teams that are still in the race, and that's great for baseball. It's exciting, and that's, you know, the additional playoff spots. That's what baseball wanted, and, you know, what it does create is a little bit of a logjam as we're going into July here and getting towards the end of the month of who's going to move players and who's not. And all it takes is, say, an 8-game winning streak or losing streak, and that landscape completely changes. You know, so we've just got to keep an eye on it and stay focused on what we can do day to day. If it's an off day today, but the two come up in St. Louis, you know, take care of business there and hopefully continue to do what we've been doing so we can be active and open as we get to the deadline.
Yeah, I think that brings up a really good point, JJ, as far as the logjam in the standings right now and, you know, sort of how these teams are jockeying for position, especially when it comes to potentially a wild card spot. How do you evaluate that in your role? I know you mentioned having a window in your mind of opportunity to win a lot of baseball games for a long time to come versus being uber aggressive and going all in and saying, okay, we've got the pieces right now to be able to go and be a playoff team and maybe potentially win a championship. You've got the franchise cornerstone and Bobby Witt Jr. locked up long-term. Obviously, Salvador Perez is another all-star and incredible player. How do you evaluate that versus, like, there are so many teams that are competing for these few wild card spots? Do we go all in now? Do we sit back and wait? How do you manage that?
Well, I'd like to think that this offseason, you know, I'll use the term we went all in, but, you know, it might be a little bit strong saying that in the offseason, but we were pretty aggressive in the offseason to be in this spot right now. And now it kind of shifts to, okay, if the season ended today, we would be just shy of making the playoffs. But if we can win 85 to 90 games this year, it's quite the improvement from last year to this year. And that was the first step we needed to take. But, you know, what we do need to take into consideration is there are a lot of players, you know, Bobby and Salvi being two of them, that committed to this organization long term. And then we had the free agents that committed to us as well. And you do feel somewhat of an obligation to the men in that clubhouse to help this team take another step. I think we'll keep competing the remainder of the year with the guys that we have. But if we can enhance the team just enough and still keep an eye on the future, we'd be doing the right thing. So, we believe in our players. We believe players can get better. We still have some players in our lineup almost every day that are going to continue to get better as major league players. And with their progression, the team should get better as well. But adding a player or two along the way certainly would enhance that and give us a better chance to make this run and get one of those spots in the playoffs.
Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo joining us here on Sports Daily. It's really interesting because, owing something to the players, but I want to go back to what the first thing you said was how great this has been for the fans. Does that change philosophy? Can you let it change philosophy that it has gone slower, you know, in the last, let's call it a decade, I guess it's been now. It's gone slower to get back to that point than I think everybody had hoped. Does that add or change anything as you look at this when you talk about, you know, how fun this has been for the fans this year?
Well, I think, you know, because we were fortunate enough to be here 10 years ago with the start of really a few really good years, you saw how this fan base reacted to the club. And, you know, after the 15th season, there were some things that were pretty unfortunate that had happened with, especially in the 16th season with an injury to Moustakas and Gordo on a collision that, you know, really hurt our chances and probably ended our chances to make the playoffs that year. But it's been a slow climb, and when you look at sort of the evolution of teams, you know, the teams that are able to maintain throughout, they've been very aggressive and creative in deals they made along the way, and sometimes that means, you know, trading some of your players that are in the prime years of their career to try to, you know, multiply and getting players back. During those years, we were playing players from within the organization to get to this point. So it's a painful process to go through. Last year was not a lot of fun for anybody. But when you look at how players have improved and the positions are in today, you have a better understanding of why we went through those growing pains last year. But at the same time, you know, you got to compliment ownership with their commitment to being, allowing us to be aggressive in the free agent market. And when I examine teams that we play that have been in the playoffs for the last several years, most of them are a combination of homegrown players and quality trades or free agent acquisitions, and there's more of a blend of the two, and that's what we have on the field right now. But we still need to continue to have our farm system supply us with talent, because it's going to be a never-ending chase to put quality teams on the field. So the growing pains were tough. The fans understand that as much as anybody, and to see them excited about our team, it is motivating. You know, it is something, you know, to have 30,000 people here is a goal of ours, because that means we're doing our job well and our fans are enjoying the product we have on the field. So, you know, you don't want that process to be too long. This previous one went more years than we cared for it to go. But all we can do is look forward and learn from what we went through the last few years and do it better the next time around.
We won't make you sit here and play politics and guess it, whether you think, you could be playing in front of us in the state of Kansas. But yeah, history has shown, I think, the success has brought the fans. And I know that all matters right now. One more for you, JJ, and we really appreciate the conversation. We'll have to do this again soon. We've had a lot of conversations here, a lot of listeners, viewers reacting and commenting. Can you just as easily as you can walk us through the thought process of Bobby Witt Jr. not being a leadoff hitter when so many star players like him are? What has been the thinking there at having him two and not one? And I know it's, you know, 5-6 at bats over the course of a season, but can you explain to us where things stand with him and his placement there?
Yeah, well, you know, for one, you know, when Mikel's going good and he's on base, it allows us to play the type of game we really want to play. And that's, you know, run the bases hard, put the game in motion with two exciting players like that. We also like Bobby to come up with somebody on base, you know, and I know we're searching and trying to figure out who that person is. But probably the most influential part of that is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Bobby has excelled in that two-hole. And, you know, we don't want to slow him up at all. He prefers to hit in the two-hole. We've discussed with him about the leadoff spot. He would do whatever we asked him to do, just because that's his nature. He's such a team guy. But he's said enough that, you know, he's comfortable where he's at. And, you know, we've been able to put together some pretty good runs. I know it's been a little hot and cold lately, But for a long time there, we were in the top six or seven in runs per game. And I believe that we can continue to do that. And, you know, when Mikel gets going again, or we, you know, last night it was Frazier, we've had Lofton up there. If those guys can get on base for him, then we got a chance to really, instead of a single run, we got a chance to put up a crooked run. And that's what we're trying to do. So at least for now, that's the way we're going to go. I really don't see that changing. Just because of how comfortable we are with Bobby in the two hole.
There you go. That's there's the answer. And look, hey, you guys, I know the players get days off this week. We know you guys won't there in the front office. So good luck. Keep at it this week. We'll be excited to see what comes over the next month or so. All-Star game right around the corner. We appreciate it, JJ. Let's do this again soon. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us here for a few minutes on Sports Daily.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you having me on. Hopefully we continue to entertain and we can have more conversations.
We will. Well, the trade deadline is going to be one to watch. Of course, this is the home of Kansas City Royals baseball. We'll be listening in. There goes JJ Piccolo, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. That's a great conversation. We're going to react to that in just a little bit. We've got back-to-back interviews today, so you know, bear with us on that. You can, of course, go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app in its full. These video streams make that available for you as well. So hang in there. We'll react to JJ Piccolo. Really appreciate his time. We're going to come back. Mitch Holthus joins us right after this. Help celebrate our launch here, our partnership, our simulcast with 12 News Plus. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming right up.
To get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster joining you here on this launch day for our simulcast with 12 News Connected to help us celebrate that. And joining the show for the first time this summer, this offseason, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs since 1994, Mitch Holthus, in the middle of a very busy time, which we'll get to in a second. Mitch, thanks for being here with us on launch day. How are you?
Well, it's awesome. Exciting on launch day to be on the rocket ship. So, yeah, for sure. And we're excited, obviously, in the Chiefs Kingdom and getting ready to roll.
Well, let's get to Chiefs Kingdom in a second, because you are, I think, here soon, or just have, you're on your way to the Capitol, Kansan of the Year for 2024, yeah. Been given that by the Kansas Society of Washington, D.C. Tell us about this experience. I know this has to mean a lot as a native Kansan, but what a cool honor, and what exactly is happening for you there?
Well, I'm completely blown away and humbled by it. I love this state, as those who know me well know, from Elkhart to Elwood and St. Francis to St. John to St. Paul. It's our entire congressional group is represented. The whole delegation, the two senators and the four representatives, are involved with this society. So it's apolitical, and they honor a Kansan of the Year. And honestly, it reminds me of those old Sesame Street skits. One of these things doesn't belong, because the list of previous winners have been, oh, General Eisenhower posthumously, Bill Self, Bill Snyder, General Myers. And I'm thinking, what am I doing in here? Amelia Earhart, I think, is in there. So it's been public servants. It's been public figures. It's been people generally who not only love Kansas, but have served Kansas. And the thing that I appreciate about this award this year is the fact that it basically is honoring, or at least acknowledging, the work that I've done throughout the state that is not related to the Chiefs or always necessarily related to sports. And there's a lot of folks in Wichita that I've worked with on separate projects for the state. In fact, we were just involved in one this spring where I spoke to a group of entrepreneurs. And your governor, who I'm a fan of, your mayor, who I'm a fan of, was there. But anyway, there's just been tons of projects throughout the years in the state of Kansas that I've been involved with. And again, it's a labor of love for the state. So I'm excited to be honored by the society in D.C., and we're en route as we speak.
Mitch, I had the honor of being at that event here in Wichita where you spoke to the entrepreneurs. It was a great event, and I'm right there with you. It seems like between, you know, Kansan of the Year and White House visits and all of these, you know, different things for Super Bowl championships and all of that, you're jet setting all over the place. Do you sleep much?
No, and you guys said off season. I'm not sure there was or has been an off season for a while. And truthfully, Matt McMullen, our senior team reporter, who I really, really enjoy working with, he came up, and this is empirical, this isn't just some thought, is that this is the shortest offseason in NFL history for any team. Because the Super Bowl went all the way until nearly Valentine's Day on the 12th, I believe, of February, and we're going to crank it up. We start the regular season, of course, on the 5th of September. But it's been a short off season, and even we just call it the non-playing season now, the non-game season, because the Chiefs Kingdom is so excited about what's going on, not only on the field but off the field, because we now have become the epicenter of the NFL, and I say that humbly, but we've also become a little bit of the epicenter of professional sports. When you look at the personalities of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and then a Hall of Fame coach in Andy Reid. And it's not in Dallas, it's not in New York, it's not in Detroit. It's in with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Kansas City Chiefs, we know, are unique in the fact that they represent more than just the metro area of Kansas City. One of the things I'm proud of is I came up with the moniker Chiefs Kingdom, because I basically grew up 4 hours from Kansas City, but that's the Chiefs Kingdom. Smith Center is the Chiefs Kingdom. So is Wichita. Wichita's a hotbed of kingdom activity and interest. So there's so much excitement. That means all of these communities, all of them, from small town to big town, from Northwest Arkansas to Sioux City, Iowa, or north, are wanting to do events. And there's fundraisers, and there's nonprofits, and there's great causes. It's just opened up the floodgates. Like, you're going to open up, you know, your Cheney Lake is going to let go of the floodgates. That's what it feels like. So some of that, a lot of that's a first world problem, but still, it has been, there's just only so much capacity. And so it's been a very interesting non-playing season since we won the Super Bowl.
Mitch Holthus, voices the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us. So the offseason is about to turn to football. We're close to training camp. It's been an interesting offseason, I think, for a lot of good reasons, but a lot of reasons that probably aren't so good. And as we look at this season, we still don't know what the wide receiver room will look like as it pertains to Rashi Rice and how many games he might miss. But we know Hollywood Brown is there now. No matter what happens, it does feel to me like this is a better group, a more talented group, let's say, than it was a year ago. How have you evaluated that room, even with some of the uncertainty there, on knowing they won a Super Bowl with a lot of uncertainty there, and it seems like now they're more talented?
Well, I'll give you a micro answer about that room, but it leads to a macro answer about the entire team and what I've been able to observe in the past 90 to 100 days, which have included OTAs and mini camps. But that room, I'll just say this, and it's been Matt and I do a podcast called Defending the Kingdom, which we get a lot of folks in Wichita that will watch that. And we mentioned that the third level of the offense is open for business again. Think of Tyreek Hill and what the Chiefs were like in 21, 20, 19, 18, when Tyreek was one of the main receivers. All right, that's back in play again with Hollywood Brown. And also Xavier Worthy. Now, one of the disappointments of the offseason, or the non-playing season, was the fact that Worthy injured a hamstring during rookie minicamp and missed the OTA workouts, which for our team are very important. But the rest of the room is good. If not, it's much better, to answer your question. And I'll throw in names that people don't know about, a guy like Nico Remigio, who last year was challenging to make the team at a wide receiver and was injured right at the end of training camp. Well, he's got a shot now to be a member of that force that includes Xavier Worthy and Rashi Rice whenever we have him, And then don't throw out guys like Justin Watson, who has been very productive and make big catches in these two Super Bowls back-to-back and won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. So that's a really good room. They're better. That's the micro answer. The macro answer is this entire team could be better. You know, you can ask me about where I think the challenges are. Some are obvious, some are not so obvious. But I'm telling you, Steve Spagnuolo's defense could be much better. This is a deep group.
Really?
This is a deep group. The class of 2022 are now becoming juniors. They had an incredible freshman year. The sophomore year, they're 43-0 in the playoffs, guys. I'm giving you a long answer here. That group is a center force. Okay, so this is Trent McDuffie. This is George Karlaftis. This is Brian Cook. This is Nazi Johnson. This is Leo Chenault. That bunch of guys, with Justin Reed added in as an undrafted or unrestricted free agent a couple years ago, this defense, guys, could be a force, and I expect them to be even better defensively than they were a year ago.
Wow. That's a big...
I'm not blowing smoke at you, boys. I'm not. I'm not blowing smoke.
Yeah.
What I've seen could be...
go ahead, Mitch. I mean,
scheme attacking you, talent. There's the corners tackle, the safeties cover. The linebackers are smart and tough, and they're coming. And with Chris Jones re-signing, which was the biggest signing of any free agent probably in the NFL offseason, you throw that in with we get Charles Omenihu back from injury at some point, maybe a while, but Karlaftis is better. Mike Dann is better. And we kept everybody on the defensive line for the most part. So I'm just telling you, that group, we're excited. We're going for it. We had a real shot at getting three in a row.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to follow up on that, the big talk, of course, on the defense this offseason is not having Legarius Sneed, not having Willie Gay Jr., but some of these guys that are moving into those roles conceivably. I was a little, not really surprised, but it was interesting to me that it wasn't like there were, you know, any kind of major free agency signings to replace Sneed or Gay. It must mean that Spagnuolo is pretty confident in these guys that are coming up.
Shamari Connor becomes paramount in this discussion, the second year corner slash safety combo from Virginia Tech. And he started to come on last year in a big way. Now, with Sneed also, the answer isn't always just a one-for-one replacement. Spags has got so many more things put in now, where there's a combination of corners and safeties and nickels and dimes, that it's different. He's changed a bunch of stuff. And these guys are so smart that they picked it up. Not that they'll be perfect, but, man, they got a chance to be good. So I'm with you. That is one of my areas of concern, is you're taking away an elite defender in Sneed. But I also see where there's a really possible solution to that, and they're on it. So there's guys you really have. Nazi Johnson coming back from injury could be very impactful as a nickel and a dime back. And then the continued maturation, Trent McDuffie, who becomes one of the top 3 to 5 corners in the NFL.
That is really exciting to hear. That's interesting. We're gonna watch that in training camp. I think it's the top story on the roster. Mitch, real quick, I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about college football. Your Wildcats
sure
look on the verge of something special, but it's not just that. And you know, as the Kansan of the year, let's be nice to the Jayhawks for a minute. As you're a K-Stater, this college football season with them collectively, I mean, I've been here a decade now. It's by far to me the most, you know, exciting coming into a year. But we're looking at potentially historic stuff. You got these two teams that can compete now in an expanded playoff. They could both get in. I mean, it's wild. What have you thought of this, you know, explosion for college football and all the changing landscape for not just your Wildcats, but for KU as well?
Well, and you add to that the new Big 12, and it's, you know, it's a wild card. Who knows what it's going to be like without OU and Texas and some really good teams coming in. Utah's really good. BYU can be really good. Arizona looks like they're really good and loaded. So there's just a lot of excitement and uncertainty about it. But for K-State, I mean, the Wichita metro area now gets lit up with Avery Johnson, who has a chance to be spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And, I guess, you know, the pride of Mays. But then you got the Pride of Derby coming back and Dylan Edwards to join up with those two guys join up. And it's very exciting. Then you're throwing DJ Giddens, a kid out of Jackson City. They got to get their offensive line put together. But I was with Coach Kleiman a couple, three different times this summer, different events. And they feel like they've got that kind of in hand. But they have a tough schedule. We'll see. But it's exciting. And Kansas, Lance Leipold. First of all, I think it starts with the AD at KU, who's from Dodge City. So he cares about football. And caring about football is the first thing. You can say you do. But until you commit resources and you go get a coach like Leipold, who's very good, Lance Leipold's good. I was with him on a couple of occasions this summer. And to have the guys that they've got, have a Devin Neal who's an impact running back, they've just built their roster up on both sides of the ball with athletes. There weren't many on the scouting sheets to look at KU for quite a while. There are now. I mean, there's NFL prospects on that roster. They're going to be good. So the fact that, you know, when Mangino made his run in, what, 07, 8, 9, right in there, K-State was mired in Ron Prince. And that wasn't – so those two weren't moving the same – you know, moving forward at the same time. And Leipold and Kleiman are both good friends. They're both very similar in their approaches. I think Coach Kleiman has our iPad because K-State runs a lot of stuff the Chiefs run. That's why it's exciting for Avery Johnson. But with Daniels, the quarterback at KU coming back from injury, looks like he's ready to go. Cole Ballard, I think, is a really good backup. Chris Ballard, his dad, was with us before being GM of the Colts. But, yes, there should be reason for excitement and anticipation of the college football season.
One more from me, Mitch, going back to this offense for Kansas City this season. There was so much talk last year about Travis Kelce and about how, you know, in some cases he was battling, you know, health issues and, you know, maybe didn't get, you know, quite the results from at least a stat line perspective that we had become accustomed to with him. But now that you've got some of these other wide receivers out there like Hollywood Brown and, you know, assuming health, Xavier Worthy, in your mind, what are you expecting from Travis Kelce? Are you seeing an opportunity for him to really feast on opposing defenses? Of, you know, and we know the relationship, of course, that he has with Patrick Mahomes, but having a little bit more support out there from the wide receiver position has got to help him, right?
Well, I'll take it even further, and that's more help in the tight end room. I'm as excited about the tight end room as you guys are about the wide receiver room. Here's why. Jared Wiley, the kid out of TCU, is a stud. You know, we lost Blake Bell, the pride of Bishop Carroll, who's in the end of his career, but what a great career he had. But Jared Wiley's a stud. He's a red zone machine. We need help for Travis Kelce. We found him. Noah Gray appears to be moving forward, and then we get Irv Smith Jr. from the Bengals. That's four starting caliber tight ends all in the same room. Travis Kelce can have an impact on a game when he never touches the ball. And so we look at a stat line and think about his effectiveness, and we have to be careful to look at maybe a qualitative stat where what does he do to affect the entire game? Teams are not going to be able to draw defenses to him like they have been the last 2 years because of the back third threat. That goes back to our discussion six paragraphs ago. But even more so, you will see three tight ends. I expect four tight ends to make this roster if everybody's healthy. That could be an answer to a Rashee Rice suspension at some point, is that your tight ends become loaded up, but they are also guys that can run every level or every route tree, every route on the tree, 1 through 9. But then you get into the red zone, and it's not just Kelce, Kelce, Kelce. And because Jared Wiley, you should be very excited about him, the rookie out of TCU.
That's the one. He gets lost in the mix, so that's great to hear too. Mitch, yep. We know you got a lot coming up. Congratulations on the Kansan of the Year. Well-deserved. We know how awesome that is. You represent this state well, so it's perfect. Enjoy what little time you get here before training camp, and then we're going to go again and see if they can't make it three in a row. But thanks for being here with us this morning.
You got it. Yeah, no, it starts next week. After I land from D.C., I go to Newton, Iowa. There's a huge Hy-Vee event that I help co-host for 4 days, and then we start camp. The rookies and quarterbacks will start first the next week, so it's on. It's here. I'll just leave this with you guys, and you can open up for discussion. Where I'm concerned, obviously, is the left tackle discussion, and then you can talk about Snead, but I've given you some answers for that. I don't lose sleep over that one. The third down back role, the Jerick McKinnon role, He's no longer here. He's been so valuable. That is one. And then, guys, at some point, maybe I jump back on with you to talk about the new kickoff rule. It's wild. It will decide games. We'll get it. I'll get into the numbers in it at some point when we have another interview. But I'm telling you, it could be a strength and it could be a weakness for every team in the league, including the Chiefs.
Let's do it again for camp. We'll do it. Left tackle's my biggest concern, too. So I do want to get into that. So it's a date. We'll do it again soon. Mitch, we really, really appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a wild tease because who knows when I'm on with you next at camp. But the point is,
we'll set it up.
I'm just telling you, the new kickoff, I will give you numbers that will blow your mind of what's going to have this new kickoff. Nobody's thinking about it. Nobody's talking about it. And just get ready.
Well, the Chiefs are. We know they are because Justin Reed might be kicking it. We're looking forward to it. All right. Well, now I'm excited.
Or Lewis Riesemann. Don't leave out Lewis Riesemann.
I know. I got to see it. I got to see it with him. I can't wait to just see it and understand it. And maybe you can explain it better. I didn't watch the XFL, so it's all trying to read and visualize this. I'm just glad it's back. Bring the kickoff back, baby. It's going to be great.
Well, they're back. It's just going to look. It won't look like any kickoff you've ever seen. At any level. I'm just telling you, boys, get ready. It's crazy. I've seen the Chiefs work on it all spring and summer, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, when fans see this, they're going to lose their mind.
Yes. Yes. All right. Mitch, travel safe. We'll do it again soon. Right, we'll get it set real quick. Kickoff talk. You heard it here coming on Sports Daily sometime in the next few weeks before training camp. All right, we're up against a break. We'll come back next hour. We'll react to some of the things Mitch Holthus had to say. Defense could be better. That's pretty wild to think about when you think about a three-peat. We'll also react to some of J.J. Piccolo's comments about the trade deadline, the Royals, their standing. What about Bobby Witt Jr. in the leadoff spot? I think we got our answer there, and it's a pretty good one, honestly. I didn't know what to expect there, but I think we got an exact answer. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks for joining us on KFH, of course, on our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, X, and on 12 News Connected. We'll be right back. Hour number two coming up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two. Catch our breath from hour number one. It is launch day for our simulcast with 12 News Connected. So thanks for all of those watching us via 12 News Connected. Thanks, everybody, listening to us, of course, on KFH and the Odyssey app, for watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Great conversations there in hour number one with both Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo and voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. And well, quite frankly, based on some of the things we heard in both of those interviews, we'll probably spend the majority of this hour reacting to them. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here with you on Sports Daily. Want to tell you, let's get our first giveaway going here in this hour. It's NBC World Series tickets. You can have the chance to win. All you got to do is text the keyword STRIKE. That's STRIKE, STRIKE, to 20357. So every text entry will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to one of the NBC World Series games. Message and data rates apply. So good luck, everybody. We'll have this giveaway going this hour. We'll also set up an HTO giveaway. So right now, NBC World Series tickets, strike to 20357. Good luck, everybody, on that. Tommy, a lot to sort of dig into there. Among the things I thought that we probably need to react to here, J.J. Piccolo's philosophy on the trade deadline. J.J. Piccolo talking about Bobby Witt Jr. in the leadoff spot. Mitch Holthus talking about how he thinks the defense could be and will be better this year than it was a year ago. Something certainly I have not considered or thought. And the tight end / wide receiver room being, it sounds like maybe, you know, significantly better. And he laid out a couple of questions that we've gone over in the past too that we'll get with him on a different day. But we'll start with the Royals, who have three All-Stars. There's four All-Stars. And, you know, coming off of a weekend that they should have won more games, sitting here and listening to those conversations with J.J. Piccolo, which, by the way, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. I don't get any indication that the Royals are not looking to be aggressive at the deadline. I think, you know, JJ mentioned, you know, you've got to be careful with the future as well. But based on the things he said about A, the fan base, about how excited they are to see big crowds, and about how he does feel an obligation to not only the free agents that came in, but Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez too, I think it's pretty clear they're going to do something. You know, again, what sort of depends on whatever happens over the next couple of weeks. But I get the impression they're looking to do something at the deadline here. We hear these things, and it's the obligation to the players and fans that really, really make those things clear to me that that's what they want to do. Now, you know, he kept talking about depth, right? Depth, depth, depth. We've got to be deeper. He mentioned Bubic coming back, gives them some starting pitching depth. They don't need it right now there, but they've got to have the ability to withstand injury, something they haven't really had to do yet this year. They have to be able to maintain if something bad happens. We know their starting five is great. We know their starting five, you know, doesn't really present a lot of issues or anything like that, but they got to have depth there. So, you know, Bubic provides that. I would imagine that they're not going to bring in a starting pitcher. I think it's the bullpen. I think it's the bats. And he did mention MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfroe heating up. That's going to help, certainly. But depth, it's just when you talk about and hear him talk about things like obligations to fans and to the free agents and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvi who gave long-term commitments, that tells me, Tommy, that it's a matter of when, not if, they do something at the deadline.
Yeah, and I don't think that there really is any kind of scenario, in my mind at least, where they would go and target a starting pitcher. I don't know why you would necessarily need to do that. You know,
and depth. I mean, he did mention depth, but I think Bubic gives them that.
Bubic gives them that depth, and the fact that they feel like he's at a point to where he can at least help the big league club. And whether that's coming out of the bullpen or, you know, maybe as a spot starter, that might happen as you get into the dog days of summer. I'm okay with that. I think that that is a logical use for a guy like Chris Bubic coming off of the injury that he had and working his way back to the major leagues and knowing that you don't have to have him fill a permanent role in the rotation right now. You feel at least fairly confident, you know, in all five of your guys. You know, it's been up and down for a couple of them, and it is for every pitcher in Major League Baseball, but I don't think Bubic comes in and immediately slots his way into the starting rotation, and I'm not sure that we'll see him outside of maybe a spot start here and there be a guy that you want to lean on in the starting rotation. It's got to be bullpen, and they've got to get some help, I think, offensively, and specifically maybe a corner outfielder is kind of where, you know, again, I really zero in my focus on what they need to do at the trade deadline. And it kind of, you know, those two issues, whether it's offensively, especially in the outfield, or a late innings bullpen piece, depending on the game, depending on the night, one or both of those situations rears their ugly heads, it seems like, nearly all the time. And it's not always consistent. Like, one game, they don't get much production offensively from the outfield. The next game, maybe they do, but the bullpen doesn't look particularly good. So there's really, I'm still kind of at a point where I don't know if I can really rank them one and two. It's, for me, it's more like 1A and 1B, just because I think that both of those issues need to be addressing.
Yeah, look, I agree. They got to do something. And I think that they will. I didn't get any indication that they don't have a plan. Now, the problem is the logjam, and we know that's the problem, and you hope that sort of sorts itself out, and probably there's nothing to be done about that until you get the next 2 weeks played through to see if you get any more sellers. I look at the lists. CBS Sports put out a list, and, you know, at the top, you're talking about guys that have been mentioned, Garrett Crochet. They wonder if Scooble for the Tigers would be in there, Luis Robert Jr., Bo Bichette, Vlad Jr. I don't think any of those are names to look at. I think you go a little further down. You've mentioned Cody Bellinger. Yeah, that would make some sense, yeah. I think. Isak Paredes, Like there, this list has players that are not out of for teams out not out of contention. So I'd find it hard to believe. How about Ryan McMahon for the Rockies? Just saw him. He can play third base. He can play second base if you need him to. Perhaps guy like Jazz Chisholm, a former top prospect. That's maybe an appropriate risk. We've mentioned the relievers out there. So I think I think there are a lot of players that could end up on list. Taylor Ward, by the way, they put as a Royals potential fit. We've talked about him before. He's been really good this year and is handy and is just sitting there and probably costs you very little. Oh, look, there's Tommy Pham on a list we've talked about ad nauseum. So I think there's plenty of guys out there. It's just if you're a seller right now, if you're a clear seller, you don't want to rush this unless somebody's going to overpay. So you're just sort of tethered to it if you're the Royals. You just kind of have to wait and see what happens on all this.
I'm a little surprised that there aren't more teams out there that are willing to overpay right now a couple of weeks before the deadline. And I'm not suggesting the Royals are one of those teams, because while it does sound like J.J. Piccolo is willing to make moves, you know, if they're the right ones, he doesn't seem to me to be the kind of guy that wants to jump in and be, you know, way uber aggressive and overpay for potential pieces on this team. So, but I do think I'm surprised that there aren't other teams that are out there that are willing to jump in and overpay right now, because there are so many teams that are in the playoff hunt. I would think that even on July 8th, there would be at least one team and maybe more that would want to get a jump, want to get a head start on everybody else competitively at the trade deadline, maybe be willing to overpay to sort of differentiate themselves and maybe try to get a little bit of a head start, you know, as they are working their way in the playoff hunt. It'd be different, again, if there were fewer roles available or fewer slots in the playoffs available. But there are so many opportunities for teams to get into the playoffs now. I don't know why there wouldn't at least be one team willing to jump on that right now.
Probably because the sellers don't want to sell yet. I mean, I think that's – I just don't think they want to. By the way, I'm just looking up at a screen right here, and I would have to check this. Seth Lugo, one of the all-stars, and his window and Waka's window, maybe a little less importantly – he's getting no love. He's got to be the Cy Young leader in the clubhouse. I mean, Scooble's up there. But you're talking about Seth Lugo still at 16-1 odds. 16-1 to win the Cy Young still. And, you know, it's guys like him. It is guys like Waka and Reagans and Singer that make all of this. Like, yeah, they got to go and get him. Got to go get somebody. The other interesting thing with J.J. Piccolo, 16-1 on Seth Lugo still. That's wild to me. The other
I
thing
might
with J.J.
Piccolo, some change on that. I mean, that's
I think I already
pretty
have
awesome
him.
Odds.
I'm almost certain I already have him at longer odds than that, but I'm going to have to go check. If I don't, I'm definitely taking that. But, the other thing with Piccolo that he talked about was Bobby Witt Jr. at the leadoff spot, which we've, you know, wondered about forever, and I still think would be the best configuration, but this is why you ask the source. And I know he doesn't make the lineup card, but he's aware of these things. These conversations obviously happen. And we got a reason that is one you don't mess with, and that's that Bobby Witt Jr. prefers to hit there. And so when you hear that, I think it sort of answers that question for us. Maybe something to consider another time in another place. But he has struggled in that spot in his young career. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. He wants to hit there. Okay, that's fine. I have no problem with that. And in fact, I'm actually, like, I would be on board with that, right? I didn't know that until we just found out that from J.J. Piccolo. But if that's the case, and it clearly is, I do think that emphasizes the need for a leadoff hitter when we talk about the trade deadline. So as we look at, and he mentioned Frazier and Massey's hit up there, and you know, they'd love for Michael Garcia to be that guy, but he's not consistent enough. And they had him hitting way down in the lineup yesterday, and he had a home run. Hit that bet, by the way. He had a home run. I felt like he was due. Okay, so now as we look at the evaluation, if you know that you're not going to bat Bobby Witt Jr. at the top, and they clearly do know that, then a part of your trade deadline evaluation should be leadoff hitter, don't you think? I mean, there's a lot of these guys we've mentioned that could do that. And if Bobby Witt Jr. likes to have somebody out on base ahead of him, which is great, then that also changes the way I think you attack it. Now you're not looking for just a bat. You're looking for a bat that could hit at the top of your lineup.
Yeah, and I think that really you can evaluate. There are players that are out there that you could bring in that could check a bunch of different boxes for you. You know, they could be a corner outfielder. They could swing a decent bat. And really, I think that's kind of what you're looking for. You don't even necessarily need a huge power bat. You don't need a superstar. You need somebody that's consistent. And that's what Michael Garcia has not been this year. That's what Nick Lofton has not been when he has hit leadoff. Probably out of all of the players that have had at least a little bit of time in the leadoff position, Michael Massey's probably the most consistent, but he's not really a true leadoff hitter either. You need somebody that's consistent, but then if you can get some speed at the top of the lineup too, I know that's a big reason why some of these guys have kind of rotated through at the leadoff spot, is because if they can get on base, then they could steal a base. The issue is they're not getting on base nearly at the clip that, you know, you would like them to. And I get that philosophy. If you've got a leadoff hitter getting on base and then can steal his way into scoring position with Bobby Witt Jr. behind you, well, then you've got RBI opportunities all the time, conceivably. But if they're not getting on base at the leadoff spot, well, then that whole theory goes out the window. So I think as they're doing these evaluations, yeah, you could check all of those boxes: an outfielder, a consistent bat, and a leadoff hitter with speed. Like, you could go and find somebody that can do that. The question then becomes, are the Royals then going to be willing to pay for that person? Are they going to put a premium on that to, you know, identify it and say, this is what we have to have for the home stretch of the season. If we want to find our way into playoff position, this is what we're prioritizing. And I do think my argument would be, if you are going to prioritize that, and I think the Royals probably should, if you had to choose, knowing all of that, I just said that it's kind of 1A and 1B for me between an outfield bat and the bullpen. I think you'd probably have to sacrifice a bullpen piece, potentially, to make that your priority. Like, that's your singular focus at the trade deadline, knowing that you've got Chris Bubich coming in who can be a bullpen piece for you. I think maybe at that point, you maybe go all in trying to find that bat from the outfield.
I think you do both. I think doing one and not the other would make, I don't want to say it would make less sense, but if you're going to go, right? If you're going to do it. And they did. They set themselves up for this in the offseason. They gave a ton of money to their star players, and they brought in some big-time free agents. I think Michael Wacha's, I think his player option is next year. And Lugo's player option isn't until this third year. But, like, there is urgency here. And I would tell you this, too. Maybe we think of that leadoff spot not in terms of speed, but in terms of just getting on base. How about just for a second, think about Freddie Fermin and Vinny Pasquantino being, you know, two of your top three. Freddie Fermin, Tommy, is getting on base almost as often as Bobby Witt Jr. right now. He's getting on base more often than Salvador Perez. Does it have to be a speed thing? Maybe he takes a stab at it just to put somebody out there for Bobby Witt Jr. Why not? You've heard me. I've wondered about Vinny Pasquantino in that spot for a long time, right? Because he doesn't strike out a lot. You know, he's not going to give you a waste. So if he can just find his way on base, and I know that putting him in front of Bobby Witt Jr. and potentially clogging that up. But if Bobby Witt Jr. wants somebody out there on base, give him somebody that's getting on base, because the names we've mentioned are nowhere near the top. Nick Lofton's right over 30% of the time. Massey is falling. He's got to get back healthy still. We know about Michael Garcia. Throw one of these other guys. Look, maybe that's the option too. I think the best option is to go find somebody. Go find your leadoff hitter. And it could totally change the offense, obviously. But I think if you do that, you're just as aggressive in the bullpen. The Royals aren't going to go add Mason Miller, right? They're not going to go add the door-slamming closer. They just need some depth. And that depth is important, not just... I mean, that depth is important. If a starter got hurt, you're probably going to need more bullpen arms because you're not going to have the luxury of what J.J. Piccolo mentioned. It's a laughable number how little they've had to have more than six innings out of their bullpen. Like they just that problem that you know that happens that it just has not been happening to the Royals. That's hard to project out. So you know a bullpen piece can still be a depth piece to help your rotation if something were to happen. But a lot there. You can go back and listen to all of it, the entire conversation with J.J. Piccolo. That'll be available for you at KFHRadio.com, on the Odyssey app. You can go back and watch these video streams to catch that. It was our second segment today, so we'd invite you to go do that. It is launch day for us here and a simulcast with 12 News Connected. We're excited about that. Excited about everybody joining in all the different ways they can. One more time on our NBC World Series giveaway today. All you got to do is text the keyword STRIKE to 20357. That's out there for you. We'll give some HTO away as well in this program. I want to say thank you to Prayer Fire Coffee. Mornings at KFH, we always are fueled up and fired up by Prayer Fire Coffee. Appreciate their support. We're coming right back. We'll react to what Mitch Holthus had to say about the Chiefs. Some bold proclamations there that we got to dig into a little bit. That's next on Sports Daily.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Monday edition of the show. Just getting things settled in here as we've launched on 12 News Connected. Appreciate that partnership. It'll be fun. Looking forward to it. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Tommy and I out in full force. I don't know if you made the pool party, but we both were out for the fireworks show out there at Crestview over the weekend. It was a great time. I thought probably the best show, I think, of the, you know, I think I've been there now 3-4 years. It was the best one. It was a good fireworks show. Tommy was able to, you know, was able to maintain and hold his composure and be there for it. You survived the fireworks, Tommy.
I think you're mistaking what my whole feelings towards fireworks are. I don't mind watching them. They're perfectly fine to watch. I just don't. I've never had a desire to go purchase them and shoot them off myself. So like the fireworks show that we watched on the 4th of July, that was fine. It was great. I enjoyed it. I thought they did a great job out there at Crestview. I just don't have a whole lot of a desire to go and spend my money on doing it myself.
Yeah, look, I get it. I think you probably told us something you shouldn't have, and we'll just give you a hard time for it. But that's and to be fair, I agree to some level. I'm not as eager to be as wild and crazy with them as I used to be, but that's more because of my kids than it is me. I would love to go, you know, blow things up and do all that kind of thing, but my kids are still too young. They're not quite there yet. I hope everybody had a safe and happy 4th of July weekend, parties throughout the weekend, celebration, all that. We appreciate Crestview Country Club support. You can give them a call and check out all their different membership options. Let's go to the phone lines. Bob with a Royals question for us, reacting to J.J. Piccolo in the first hour. Bob, how are you? Welcome to Sports Daily.
Hey, I'm good. You guys doing okay?
Yeah, everybody's good. Everybody's good.
Oh, good, good. Hey, I've been thinking about this for more than a day. How about Freddie Fermin as leadoff? I mean, it's consistent. Yeah.
I know. I'm with you. We just brought that up, Bob. I don't know if you heard it.
Did it?
I didn't. I like his swag more than anything. Yeah. He is clearly establishing himself as a leader on this team. I really like the idea. Hearing that Bobby Witt Jr. likes to hit second, which we just heard from J.J. Piccolo,
that
makes me step back from let's bat Bobby Witt Jr. leadoff because they're not going to do that, nor should they. If that is a verbalized choice of your star player, great, bat second then.
Yeah.
But it does mean they got to find a leadoff hitter. And until they get to the trade deadline, they got to just try what's there. Why not Freddie Fermin? I'm with you. Now, you do have the situation of, and I think, you know, he's becoming an everyday player. You'll have Salvi, him, Vinny Pasquantino, just kind of rotate him around there, but let him play. And I'm with you. I think it's good. He's just at least strike while the iron's hot. And right now it's hot with Freddie Freeman.
Exactly. He's on base, what, 3 out of 4 times? And
not quite that high.
And all that good stuff. Yeah. Still better than, 5 for 48 or something, you know?
Much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks.
Appreciate it, Bob. I think my only hesitation, and it kind of follows up what you were mentioning, Jacob, is that there is kind of a domino effect. If you put Freddie Fermin as the leadoff hitter and he becomes your consistent everyday leadoff hitter, then at that point you're making the decision that he's an everyday player, and that's fine. He's performing
first.
At a level, you know, I think at this point that you can start to have that conversation. But then at that point, okay, is leading off, is he an everyday catcher? Is he an everyday DH? Does he switch between them? What do you do with Salvi?
Switch.
Is Salvi playing first base? And then what's Vinny Pasquantino doing? So I think that those are all different things that you have to sort of figure out. It doesn't mean that it's impossible. It doesn't mean that it's the wrong decision to make, but there is a little bit of a domino effect. If you kind of declare Freddie Fermin as he is our leadoff guy. Okay. Well then at that point, he's an everyday player at either catcher or designated hitter. So then at that point, you kind of have to figure out all those other pieces and where they all fall.
Well, the good news is Salvi can play first base. So I think that solves itself in the sense that you can play Salvi in all three spots. You can play Freddie Fermin in 2 of the 3 spots, and you can play Vinny Pasquantino in 2 of the 3 spots. There you go. And I think that rotates itself out. The bigger decision is Freddie Fermin ready to be an everyday player? Even if he's not, and I think he is, based on, the competition around him, just it doesn't mean that he has to be the leadoff hitter every day. Just try him out there. Like, if it's not Michael Garcia and it's not right now, it's just not, then who cares? Rotate a few guys in there. See if something sticks. Like, the thing about Fermin that intrigues me isn't only because he gets on base at a really high clip right now. That's certainly a big part of it. It's just that his attitude strikes me as somebody who would fully embrace that, right, and not be afraid of that at all and just get in there and do his thing and be willing to, get hit by a pitch, walk. He was so fired up after what night was that? Saturday night. He was so fired up about a late inning walk, just trying to get people excited for, to complete a comeback. And they didn't ultimately do it. But like, you just see him and you're like, okay, this guy would not back down from that challenge at all. Why not? Because he's not fast. But so what? Right? No, he's not. But you know who else isn't fast? A ghost runner on first, like nobody be in there. Like it's like they just can't get that leadoff hitter on. So it's an idea and a good one, Bob, one we just wondered about. Certainly.
And you know what? The other thing I want to mention as far as Bobby Witt Jr. preferring to hit second, and I understand why, I understand he's comfortable there, but I do think we've seen it and as recently as a couple of days ago where when there are not runners ahead of him, Bobby Witt Jr., I think, tends to press a little bit. You know, he got thrown out trying to steal second. And so I think that if there was a, and I don't know if you can necessarily draw a line between those two things, but I thought of it. Like, I can see Witt thinking to himself, if you want something done right, do it yourself. I can't get somebody else into scoring position because there's nobody on base in front of me. So I'm going to have to try to get into scoring position myself. You know, and that was kind of a crucial situation when that happened. Got thrown out and the Royals ultimately couldn't come back. That was the finale in the homestand most recently. So I do
it
think that those are
Saturday too.
Yeah. And so those are situations where I think he might be pressing a little bit and thinking he's got to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. It sure would be nice if he had somebody in front of him in the lineup that could actually get on base every once in a while.
Yeah, look, I think if you had to point to like what's that last thing he needs to refine offensively right now, it's refining the base running a little bit. We know he's one of the fastest players in baseball. Now it's more about just learning opportunity, risk, reward, all of those things. You don't want him to not be aggressive, certainly. But it's coming along. I mean, I'm not terribly concerned about it, but yeah, like I do think everybody's pressing a little bit right now on the team because they just can't quite get this offensive slump. Now, I know they scored a bunch of runs yesterday, but they should have scored. They were in Colorado, for God's sake. Like, they should have scored a lot more run in the first two games of that series, and they just didn't. And it's been this continuous trend for them. And anything to, like, just shake that loose a little bit could go a long way. Who knows? Maybe Mikel Garcia will heat up, and you can put him back up there for a little while. I don't know. I mean, he hit a home run yesterday, but maybe that's also a reason to leave him down in the lineup. I'll spend a couple minutes here with going back to the Mitch Holthus. We'll take a hard turn. Mitch Holthus, Tommy, told us that he thought the defense would be better this coming year. Now, as I have wondered and tried to predict out the Chiefs, and I do think the Chiefs should be the odds-on favorite. There's no question about that to me. But if the defense got, let's just say it was as good, I don't have really any question that the offense will be better. The offense will be better this year. To think that the defense, as he said, better, I would say even if it's just as good, they're never beating the Chiefs if that happens. I mean, you know, injuries and weird things aside, like, that offense is going to be better next year, better than it's probably been in 3 or 4 years. Well, I say probably, could be better than it's been in 3 or 4 since Tyreek Hill left, quite frankly. So if that's the case and you get a repeat performance at worst out of the defense, I mean, that's crazy to even think about.
Yeah, I've been thinking it for a long time that clearly the Chiefs and probably Steve Spagnuolo specifically feel really, really good about the players that they've had that can slide in and replace L'Jarius Sneed and Willie Gay Jr. And I've thought that for a while. Now, whether or not I believe it, I mean, I'm going to have to see it on the field to actually be able to be convinced of that. But clearly that's been their mentality this entire offseason. Because, like, think about Willie Gay Jr., for example. Let's talk about him first. The contract that he signed with the Saints, the Chiefs could have easily matched that contract. It wasn't much money. Really, it was less than I thought it would be for Willie Gay Jr. to go to another team. It was, what, like a $4.5 million deal for 1 year, I think, was what he got. That was something that, even with the cap restrictions that the Chiefs have, they could have found a way to make a 1 year, $4.5 or $5 million deal work. So they must feel pretty confident in guys like Mike Dana and, you know, George Karloftis on the edge and, you know, other players like that to be able to slot in and, you know, really be able to fill that role that Willie Gay Jr. had performed. L'Jarius Sneed is a little bit different because he had been, you know, so much of a major factor. Not that Willie Gay Jr. wasn't, but he was the reason why, in combining him up with Trent McDuffie, that made that secondary so elite last season that that's going to be more difficult to replace. And there were definitely going to be big time bidders and suitors. And there ended up being that, you know, for L'Jarius Sneed, but they must feel really confident in who they've got to replace those guys in those positions because they didn't go out and try to replace them externally. It's been primarily internal replacements. And to hear Mitch talk about that last hour and how he feels like those guys are going to be able to come in and take over those roles, that's clearly been their mentality. The jury was still out for me, and it still is to an extent. But yeah, it is good to hear that at least the positivity is there, at least internally, that defense can be just as good, if not better, as it was a year ago.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not possible. I think it's definitely possible. It's just so hard to imagine it can be as good. Just that, and to me, that's more of a just how good it was last year, in as much as anything else. Mitch Holthus thinks they will solve Sneed's loss schematically, which I will defer to him on because he's a great football mind that watches these things. Leo Chenal is the replacement for Willie Gay Jr. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the more clear things. Wasn't he the highest graded player in the Super Bowl? I believe he was. I mean, that's your replacement for Willie Gay. So that one always has made sense to us. We saw Chenal as the replacement, and I hope he steps into that challenge. It's the Sneed loss. I mean, I told you guys all off season, I thought Sneed's return was more important even than Chris Jones. Now, there's an age component to that, and there is a component that it was just so nice to have two corners to lock people up. A great pass rush is as good as a great cover corner, right? They're kind of interchangeable, one or the other, right? Like if you can have way, they accomplish the same goal essentially. So I hope Chris Jones has it. I love that Chris Jones is back. This was nothing about, you know, player to player as far as personality. I love that they're able to keep him with Mahomes, Kelce, and Reed as this core that's been there. He's a Hall of Fame player. So that all makes sense. I got to see it, though. And it's not about the players that are replacing. I believe that. Like, I believe what Mitch said, that he thinks these players are going to get better with another. I believe all that. It was just so good last year that I think that's hard to replicate. That's all it is for me. Like, it's just a hard thing to repeat.
Yeah, and that's my point. You know, when I mentioned guys like Mike Dana and George Karloftis and others, it's not necessarily that specific guy, Leo Chenal, or whoever, to come in and replace Willie Gay Jr. It's that the other pieces that took a step forward last year on that defense, they continue to show signs of getting better and being more dominant. And you know, to his point, and Mitch mentioned this, that you've got a handful of these players that, you know, they were either rookies or second-year players last year, and they've seen step forwards from them. They're going to need to see basically a leap forward from some of those other pieces. And, you know, Chris Jones is the veteran. He is the foundation defensively, at least the defensive front for Kansas City. But you've got a veteran like Charles Omenihue coming back from injury. Hopefully he's able to be 100%, you know, when this year kicks off for Kansas City. So you've got a couple of veterans in there. But by and large, you're looking at a young core, especially in that secondary, a young core of players that they've shown flashes. Like, man, like I know that last season there were situations where, you know, and I'm trying to think of some of these guys, like Joshua Williams and Jamari Connor and some of these other players that we saw them have flashes of excellence in this whole Steve Spagnuolo scheme. That's got to be something that is on display on a more consistent basis.
They were in different roles than they'll be asked to be in this year.
Yep.
So you don't know if that translates. I mean, you can guess at it. It might not. But when you're asked to play a different position, essentially, we don't know how that goes. But it will be fascinating. And we didn't even have a chance to talk about some of the problem areas he mentioned. Left tackle, huge problem area. And the reason, you know, you don't re-sign L'Jarius Sneed is because they got to pay a bunch of offensive linemen. We've set that up for 2 years now. Like, just trust us. The decisions that they make in the off seasons are predicated largely on making sure Patrick Mahomes is upright and healthy. And they need to do that through the offensive line. That's why they've been
even if they pay those offensive linemen. You know, you're talking about Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. Still doesn't address the issue at left tackle.
No, it doesn't. And we'll get Mitch's thoughts on that. We'll set that up for here in the next couple of weeks. Get Mitch back on to talk about that. And he's clearly fired up about the kickoff, which I am too. But I'm excited to hear him that fired up about the kickoff because who knows what will come of that. All right, we'll do that. Let's come back. Dan Hurley's got a new deal. It's less money than he could have gotten with the Lakers. We'll react to that. Get you the details there. Sports Daily, last full segment coming your way. Final giveaway of the day today. Let's get right to it. Let's give away some HTO. All you got to do for that is text the keyword TEA to short code 20357. You can win a free iced tea from HTO. More than 20 flavors available to you. Wichita East, Wichita West, or in Derby. Or in Derby and Wichita East, you can win a free rain coffee. We'll give you one of each. The free rain coffee available there, those two locations. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. That's TTEA to 20357. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Tommy, the details on Dan Hurley's contract. What do we got?
Yeah, he signed an extension with UConn today. 6-year, $50 million contract for Dan Hurley. That puts him, you know, up there as one of the highest paid coaches in college basketball. And as a reminder, it wasn't that long ago, a couple weeks ago, he turned down a six-year, $70 million contract offer from the Los Angeles Lakers. So we knew he was going to get paid. He ends up, you know, not getting as much money from UConn as he would have from the Lakers, but still, for the market for what college basketball coaches make, he's right up there in the top echelon.
Yeah, he's getting Bill Self money at this point.
Yeah,
with lot shorter of a road to get there. It's not unprecedented or anything like that. It's totally normal and expected. And look, it's not always just about the money. He had a chance to go and coach LeBron James at one of the storied franchises and make an absurd amount of money, and he didn't do it. And he took less money to stay. People do that all the time. Shouldn't surprise. Now, it's a great payday for him. And clearly he loves what he's doing and he's good at what he's doing. And there's not anybody that's followed college basketball that would say, oh, they're overpaying Dan Hurley. And no, it's
yeah, you're back to back national champion. Yeah. I think that
it
he's earned
right
every
where
dollar
needs
of that.
To be. Yes. And in a sport where that, like, the thought of that is so wild and how difficult it is to make your way through the NCAA tournament. So that's there. Great day here on the program. Just a reminder, if you want to go back and listen to our conversation with J.J. Piccolo or Mitch Holthus from hour number one, you can do that. There's lots of ways you can do that. You can do it on the Odyssey app. Love the Odyssey app. Listen to it all the time when I'm out and about, not in my car. You can do that at kfhradio.com if you're by a computer. You can do it on the video streams if you want to watch it. You can do that on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. You can go back on those streams. They kind of live forever. You can go back and find them that way. But a couple of good conversations. We should have a lot of fun guests here coming up over the next couple of weeks as we sort of hit the launch with our 12 News Connected simulcast. Now we're hoping to get through these, you know, slower days of the summer with some big-time interviews, and then all of a sudden it'll be August, and here we'll go. And it will be full steam ahead into football season, where there is no rest. But we've got Brandon Zinner, 12 News, out at Big 12 Media Days this week. We'll check in with him this week to see how those – there's about 8 billion different great storylines happening at Big 12 Media Days, not just with K-State and KU. You've got Deion Sanders with a debut. That's sure to create some headlines. You've got a new expanded conference in general – sure to create some headlines. So that'll all happen out in Vegas this week. We'll get reports from Brandon Zinner, and then we'll try to connect with some of the KU and K-State folks after that in the following weeks to sort of get us through to football season. But it's been fun. And as far as I can tell, unless there was, you know, a shot of me picking my nose or something, everything's been pretty good here today on launch day.
If anybody's going to be picking their nose on camera, it's going to be the guy that isn't a TV guy. Like, you know what you're doing. You've been on camera for God knows how many years. Like, this is a debut for me. So, you know, call me out if I'm picking my nose, if I'm doing something stupid on camera. I'm not a TV guy. I got to get used to this.
Don't worry. We all do plenty of stupid things on camera. All right, we're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on KFH the rest of the day today on a Royals off day when we return. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.